All right, if you have your Bibles, if you want to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to go ahead and use this, the red cordless here. And it's fine, if you want to go ahead and stand with me, Matthew chapter 2. And why don't you go ahead and put your finger there, and then turn over to Luke chapter 2. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to look, and then first we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. Just a little side note, I heard Brother Joe mentioned about the bus ministry in his prayer here. And we had the privilege, my wife and I, we attended a wedding last night of two guy and a girl in our church who actually started coming to our church through our bus ministry. And we started our bus ministry 12 years ago, and it's pretty neat to see somebody as a child that came into the church through the bus ministry, and for both of them to grow up and through Sunday school and the teen department, and then to see them get married, and they got married last night, and they're both friends of mine, and it's great to see that take place. And so you may look at the bus ministry and you say, well, just children that they bring in or teenagers that they bring in, but they grow up and they get older. And that's a very valuable ministry to have in a church, is a bus ministry. And we've had dozens of boys and girls who started out in the bus ministry and that have grown up, and they're now school teachers. And an interesting note about this, the man that got married last night, he started out in the bus ministry, and now about a year ago, we gave him the position as the bus director. And so now he's leading the bus ministry. And so it's a really great thing, and takes a lot of time, takes a lot of patience, but it's a very valuable ministry. Okay, Luke chapter 2, let's look at verse 1. And tell you what, just for the sake of time, we have a lot of reading to do. Why don't we go ahead and just go and follow along, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Now it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth in Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And folks, that's what God, that's what the plan for Christ for your life is. Is you want to know what peace is, you want to experience peace, you want to have peace in your life. You get to know the bringer of peace. You get to know Christ, and you'll experience peace. Let's continue on. Verse 15, it says, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them. Then go and turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to go and look at verse 1. God says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11 says, And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, we come to you today. Lord, this is a time of year, Lord, where we have set aside to purposely focus on your birth, dear Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I pray that this would be a profitable time for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You go ahead and be seated. Here we have two different accounts of the gospel, the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. Similar accounts, but different time frames in the life and the birth of Christ. Here we have, in the book of Luke, we have Jesus Christ just being born, and of course we know the story about how the angel appeared unto the shepherds and told them of the great thing that had just happened, and then the multitude of heavenly hosts appearing unto these shepherds, and then the shepherds quickly going to see Jesus Christ in this stable, in the manger. And they're bowing and worshiping him and praising him because they realize what a great thing, a gift that had been bestowed to them and all of mankind. And then we turn and look at Matthew and we see a different time, a little confusion sometimes, but we see a different time in the life of Jesus Christ where we have these wise men who had been seeking Christ for quite some time now. Wealthy noblemen, wise men of their day, were men of power, men of great knowledge of their day, and they were able to use that knowledge and seek after Christ. And we find them coming and seeing King Herod. And they were invited in by King Herod, and I'm sure the news of their travels had been going around. But Herod was a little worried that this Jesus, who was supposed to be born a governor and a ruler of his people, King Herod was worried he was going to be getting the boot, and he was afraid. The Bible says that because King Herod was afraid, that all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. And so we find here that these wise men are invited in by King Herod, and King Herod subtly asking questions, saying, you know where Jesus Christ is? You know where he's going to be born? You know when he's going to be born? Whereabouts? What's the location of him? And I believe these wise men, they proved their name, they didn't tell Herod. And we find here that King Herod, just as they're about to leave, King Herod says, if you find Jesus, why don't you let me know so I may come and worship him. And these wise men take off, and then we find them coming to Christ and then presenting their gifts of gold, myrrh, and frankincense, and then going back home another way and not passing through Herod's kingdom. Because we know that Herod would have killed him, was sought to kill Christ. How many of you have ever heard that song before, the 12 Days of Christmas? How many of you heard it maybe on the radio this year being sung, or maybe you sang it to yourself this year? We all heard that song before. How many know what that song means? You know the meaning of that song. Partridge in a pear tree? What's that? Two turtle doves? Was it three French hens? What's the four? Four calling birds? And then we got the five golden rings, right? Now, is it six geese a-laying? Is that what it is? Seven pipers piping? Seven swans a-swimming? Eight maids a-milking? Nine ladies dancing? Nine ladies dancing? Was it ten lords a-leaping? You ever seen a leaping lord? I've never seen one. 10 lords are leaping. 11 what? 11 drummers drumming? No? 11 pipers piping. And then what's the 12 one? 12 drummers drumming. You hear that song being sung and you say, well, what kind of foolishness is that? Who gets all that stuff on Christmas? And a lot of times we think about that song as 12 days before Christmas. How many think that? You have thought that before. I have. You think about it, maybe it starts on December 13th. And that's when you get the partridge in the pear tree. And then on maybe December 14th, you get the two turtle doves. But folks, can you believe it? And it's a little bit different of a message today. I'm not going to be really preaching at you, but I want to teach you a little bit. That song has a biblical meaning. And that song is scripturally sound. You say, what? A partridge in a pear tree? What does that have to do with Jesus Christ being born in a manger? Well, first of all, let's get the story. Let's find out how the story worked here. A lot of people think that those wise men came when Jesus Christ was still in the manger. How many of you thought that? And you're not ashamed to admit it. Okay, good. Okay, that's great. I thought it before, too. Okay. Father, when we think about, well, Jesus was born in that manger, and then came the shepherds, and then came the wise men. Well, in all actuality, that's not the case. Biblically, it even supports that it wasn't the case. What I want you to look at here, look back and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. You remember back when we read Luke chapter 2 there? Is there any mention about those wise men there? I don't see any. And if you look, verse 7. It says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Right there, yes, Jesus Christ is being born in a manger in a barn. And then turn back to Matthew chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Here we have these wise men coming after just visiting King Herod. The Bible says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother. Now, how about you folks? I've never walked into a barn and said, ah, it's good to be home. You ever done that before? Maybe the cows do that, and the chickens do that, and the pigs do that. But, I've never done that. I don't like the smell of the barn. I don't equate the smell of a barn as my house, unfortunately. Or fortunately, right? But we have these wise men here. It says when they come into the house. Folks, that's not an error in the scripture. It's a sometime later. And folks, at this time, this is the period between Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2 where this song, The 12 Days of Christmas, was written or came about, where the thought of having the 12 Days of Christmas. It's believed that it was 12 days from the birth of Christ to when these wise men came and laid their gifts at Christ's feet. And believe it or not, this 12 Days of Christmas, the world sings it, it's on the radio. People, you know, dance to it, and school kids, you know, it's a song, and it's fun and games, but it's a very scriptural, biblical song. They don't even know it. I'll give you what the 12 days of Christmas mean. We talked about, what's the first day of Christmas? A partridge in a pear tree. Partridge in a pear tree symbolizes... What do you think? Jesus Christ. Partridge in a pear tree symbolizes Jesus Christ. Or on December 25th, the first day of Christmas, in the song, Christ is symbolically presented as a mother partridge that feigns injury to decoy from his predators, from her helpless nestlings, recalling the expression of Christ's sadness over the fate of Jerusalem. If you remember, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have sheltered you under my wing, as when a hen does her chicks, but you would not have it so. Remember that scripture? Turn over to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. This is how Jesus is speaking of himself about Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, ye would not. The first day of Christmas being December 25th, yes, a partridge in a prayer tree. Folks, that symbolizes Jesus Christ. How about you? You ever seen a chicken run with its young? You ever seen that? My uncle has a farm up in Vermont. I remember seeing he lets his chickens just run all over the place. They go everywhere. But you see the chicken, I've never seen it before. But if it was raining or snowing, the chicken would hold its wings out. And the little chicks would keep in pace with the mother right under his wings. Jesus Christ in this song is symbolically saying, listen, Christ was presented to us on December 25th to save us from sin. Second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me what? Two turtle doves. Two turtle doves. What do you think they signify? I'll give you a hint. That's a good guess. Nope. I would have guessed that. That's a good guess. Two turtle doves. I'll give you a hint. You're holding it in your hand. Most of you. You got it. Symbolizes the New and the Old Testament. The Old Testament and New Testament, you've got to bear witness of God's self-revelation in the history and in the creation of the people, tells the story of God to the world. You find in the Old Testament, you look in the book of Isaiah, you look in other parts of Scripture, symbolically given, Christ is going to be presented to mankind as Savior. And you look in the New Testament, and it's fulfilled. Two turtle doves, the Old and the New Testament. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens. Four calling birds. Three French hens. Anybody can guess? This is a hard one. Three French hens. Three virtues. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Forget you turning today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's known as the love chapter. First Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse 13. Three French hens, what are they? You got it. Faith, hope, and charity. Fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Puts a whole new perspective about my true love. Doesn't it? My true love gave to me. Fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four, I think this one's funny, four calling birds. Who are these calling birds? Four of them. You got it. The Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four calling birds. The birds are calling. Fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five golden rings. You think, what's that? Five golden rings. Think about the opposite of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. On the other side. What's that? Or is called the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The books that the Jews hold fast to. The Torah. Fifth day of Christmas, true love gave to me the five books of the Old Testament known as the Torah, the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which gives the history of humanity's sinful failure and God's response of grace in the creation of people to be the light of the world. Sixth day of Christmas. Six, what is it? Six geese of laying. I'll give you a hint. This comes from Genesis 1. 6 days of creation. It symbolizes the 6 days of creation. On the seventh day, God what? Rested. Seventh day of Christmas. Seven swans a swimming. You have you in 1 Corinthians still? Look at chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Nope. Close. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 11. Seven swans are swimming. Seven what? Seven gifts to the Holy Spirit. You see how much theology is in this song so far? It's covering the whole Bible just about. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, compassion on others. Okay? It all comes from God. Eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave me. What? Eight maids a milking. Turn over to Matthew again. Matthew 5. See if you can get it. Matthew chapter 5. You got it. Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 3. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. It's come from Christ. So then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There's one. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." There's two. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Three. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Four. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Five. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Six. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Six. Seven. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Eight. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Eight. There they are. Eight maids and milking. Nine. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Nine ladies dancing. Turn over to Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, look in verse 22. Nine ladies dancing. 22 and 23. See what it is? Fruits of the Spirit. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Where do all these come from? You think mankind created all this stuff? It came from God. God gave it to us. Christ gave it to us. Nine ladies dancing. The fruits of the Spirit. Ten lords are leaping. This one should be easy. Ten lords are leaping. Did you hear it? Got it. Ten commandments. Ten lords are leaping. Signifies the Ten Commandments. Go and turn to Exodus 20. Exodus 20. Look at verse 1. Exodus 20, verse 1. Bible spake, and God said all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And he goes on to give us 10 commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You notice the first six have to do between God and man. First six of those commandments. And then the last four are between mankind and themselves. Verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Then it goes on. And so, 10 loads of leaping signifies the 10 commandments. 11, on the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 pipers piping. What does that signify? Think hard now. Why 11? What's that? What is that? Nope. You're close, though. You're very close, okay? You got the disciples part right. Not minus Jesus. Minus who? Judas. You're right. Judas. Exactly right. Why did they exclude Judas out of it? Yeah, he betrayed him. Okay? Remember, Jesus Christ selected 12 disciples. Judas betrayed him. There was only 11. You know Jesus replaced him? Jesus replaced Judas. Who did he replace him with? Paul. Called Paul, remember? His name was Saul. On the road to, where was it? Damascus. Remember? He called Saul, then he struck him blind. Jesus replaced him. 11 pipers piping. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. Doesn't include Judas Iscariot. And finally, on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming. Think about this. What is the purpose of a drum? Okay. Besides just making noise, what is the design? What is a drum used for? Anybody music? What's that? Keep time. What is it used in war for? To what? To signal that you're coming? Okay. You think about it in civil war times or in revolutionary times. What else did they use a drum for? Okay, a cadence to keep people in order. We're marching. Okay. I think about in music. What is the purpose of a beat? It's to keep everything in order. Okay. A lot of times you and I, we sing, we don't even realize. The beats are subconscious, the subliminal. You wonder why I wave my hand up here. That's me showing you the downbeat. showing you the downbeat. Why would this song signify? What is the 12 drummers drumming of Christianity? What is the thing of Christianity, the drum of Christianity that keeps you and I in tempo? Keeps you and I in order. Keeps you and I in sync. Something called the Apostles' Creed. Or we'll just call it the Christian beat. The Christian drum. What is it? Number one, we believe in God, the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Is beat one. Beat number two is I believe that Jesus Christ is the only Son of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the Son. Is beat two. Beat three is He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Is beat three. I believe that. Before, as He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried, He descended into hell, the grave. Before. Beat five, on the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand of the Father. Beat five. What's beat six that keeps us in tempo, that keeps us in line? He will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe that someday Jesus Christ will come again. That's beat six. What's beat seven? I believe in the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus said when He left earth, He says that I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll give you a comforter. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Beat eight. We believe that God ordained the church. We believe that God ordained the church and it's got a purpose. Beat nine, we believe in having communion, remembering Christ, Last Supper. We believe in having a time of remembering Jesus Christ through the breaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine. We believe in symbolically remembering Him. Number 10, beat number 10. Folks, you and I believe Jesus forgave all of our sins. He gave us a home in heaven. Beat number 11, we believe someday that if Jesus doesn't come back in our lifetime, you and I, we're going to die. Our body's going to go on the ground. But we believe someday that there will be a rapture. The Bible says that we will. Our bodies will be reunited again. And finally, beat number 12, we believe through salvation we have life everlasting. We're pretty good, huh? Those are pretty good things that keeps in line. And folks, a little do we know, and little does probably the world know, and all the radio stations out there that broadcast the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. But folks, this song was written and based between that time, symbolically symbolizing the 12 days after Jesus Christ was born until those wise men met Christ in that house and they bestowed those gifts of gold, myrrh and frankincense at His feet and worshiped Him and adored Him. The song symbolizes all of what Christianity stands for during this time, all of what we believe as Christians, and it culminates with what holds us together. What holds us together? Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is what holds us together. Faith in the belief that He was born of that Virgin Mary. Faith in these 12 drummers drumming that keeps us all marching, keeps us all in line, and folks, keeps us all coming together on Sunday and celebrating the Sabbath day as the Lord's Day. Never would have known it by the 12 days of Christmas, would you? Never would have known a partridge in a pear tree or two turtle doves or that whole song could sum up Christianity in such a great way. You know, I remember being taught in college and I'm done. The only thing that is stronger than the Word of God, the only thing that will make this of none effect, the Bible even says it, it's called the traditions of mankind. Ever wonder why, how many were brought up Catholic? How many have family members that are Catholic? How many tried to witness to those family members or tell them about the gospel of Christ and it just, it's none effect? Why? Because they're brought up that way. It's tradition. They've always been that way. They've always been taught that. I'm not saying that tradition can be broken, because many of you are a living proof of that. But I believe back when this song was written several hundred years ago, I believe it was written in the 1600s, they knew that we got to get it into the traditions of mankind. We've got to get the gospel story into the traditions of mankind. We got to get what Christianity stands for and what Christ came for. We got to get it into the traditions. So they wrote this funny song, kind of a strange song. But people go on day in and day out every year singing and proclaiming everything that Christ stood for. And they don't even realize it. Pretty neat, isn't it? Pretty neat. I'd like everybody to stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, Lord, I thank you again, Lord, that we're able to live in a country, Lord, that not the perfect country and not the exact country that I believe you want us to be, but Lord, we still do live in a great country, Lord, that allows us to freely celebrate your birth, dear God. Heavenly Father, all of this, dear God, we know is worthless unless we know for sure we're trusting in you as our personal Savior. I'd like everybody with their head bowed and their eyes closed. I know many of you, you've been here many times, but if there is, I always like to give the opportunity. If there is somebody here, if you do not know for sure that if you were to die that you'd go to heaven, let me tell you, you're missing truly what Christmas is about. You're missing what Christmas really could be. I would urge you, in just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. This invitation is open to anybody. It's a time, basically, just to come and talk to God. You can pray about anything. But I would urge you, if you're here today, you don't know for sure if you were to die that you'd go to heaven. I'm going to come down front and stand. I'd urge you, come out front and take my hand, and I'll show you myself, or I'll find somebody that can show you how you can know for sure. It takes about 5 minutes. 5 minutes or less. If you're here today, and you say, well, I've already been saved, I would ask you today.